I'm John Weatherby. That wonderful weather forecast, it sounds like spring. I would hope everyone will enjoy their 5 days of spring. Remember, they don't all come in a row. So when you get one, got to enjoy it like you can. Like Sully will be doing tomorrow at his remote at Sugarloaf Country Club with the, is it the Mitsubishi Classic? I think Mitsubishi's the title
Mitsubishi
sponsor.
Electric
Mitsubishi
Classic.
Mitsubishi Electric Classic. It's electric! And John Richards will crash that because it's in his backyard, apparently. So he'll be up there as well. Let's bring John in now, and let's talk about, you know, we've spent a good bit of time on this race, on this show, talking about state politics, and we've thrown a little bit of presidential, but we are now in campaign season. The legislature has gone away. We've had the Masters. When the Masters is over, that means we focus on elections, and through a consent decree and federal judge order, we now do our primaries for non-presidential candidates in May. And so that's only, 6 weeks roughly? I think 6 weeks from 2 days ago. But anyway, point is, we've got every member of the state legislature up for election. Not everyone's being challenged, but every state senator and every state rep is up in Georgia every 2 years. There will be some local elections around this time, and if there's a primary challenger in that. But the action right now, really, to me, at least where the money goes, and thus we get to see ads and we get to see a lot of activity, is in the congressional races, because most of Georgia's, at least Republican side of the current delegation, the 10 Republicans in Georgia, most of them have a primary challenge. And so specifically in North Georgia, it seems like if you're north of I-20, about everybody, and then we've got an open seat where Lynn Westmoreland is retiring in Georgia 3. But you actually went to a debate, one of the first forums that's been had at one of these, where Doug Collins is being primaried by former Congressman Paul Brown, former Congressman Paul Brown that's run for the U.S. Senate twice, and this is the third separate district he's tried to run for Congress from. And yes, I am well aware you don't have to live in your district to run for Congress, unlike state reps and state legislators. But, you know, Paul Brown loves running against career politicians, but he looks a lot like one, and so he's decided that he now wishes to represent the good people of Georgia 9 and Gainesville, and then up through, you know, Fannin County, and basically, you know, just consider it. Start at Gainesville, draw a pie-shaped wedge up, and it goes up into the mountains from there, the people that want to know what district we're talking about. But what give us an overview of what the actual debate was. Are we debating issues here, or are we just debating, for lack of a better way of saying it, purer than thou, holier than thou, more conservative than thou?
No, I actually think that they did talk about issues. This was a debate that was sponsored by the Hall County Republican Party up there in Gainesville, and probably 150 people maybe were in attendance, so it was a pretty well-attended event. And they spent most of the time talking about legitimate issues. How do you deal with taxation? Is the fair tax the right answer? Things along that line. They ended up talking a lot about national security. What do we do about Afghanistan? What do we do about ISIS? And then they spend a little bit of time talking about some more local issues in terms of water supply up in that area, which is an important issue with Lake Lanier and who has control.
Before
of that.
We jump into even the rest on fair tax, I assume they're all for it.
And
was there any daylight on any of these? When you say they talked about issues,
well,
it's one thing
one
to talk about it. It's
right.
Another thing for candidates to differentiate themselves, because we keep going through these cycles where these candidates all say the same thing,
right.
And then we have voters that get mad that they don't do what they say they're going to, when half the time, I mean, again, we could go into a long diatribe about the fair tax and the problems with the way that bill is currently written.
April 15th is right around the corner.
It's, you know, it's just one of those dogmas now within segments, especially in North Georgia, that you don't question the fair tax, that it's almost biblical with some of these people.
And you almost have to look at the participants in this thing. I mean, you've got Congressman Collins, who, in my opinion, was probably the one who at least showed that he'd had some experience in governing and the need to go ahead and find common ground with other people in order to move the ball forward. You had former Congressman Brown, who has his four-way test, and if you violate the four-way test, he's going to vote no, which means he's going to vote no on virtually everything. You've got the former...
is his message not please vote for me so I can be paid $174,000 a year to vote no on everything.
His message was that establishment politician Doug Collins does not deserve to come in and be reelected. So Paul
Doug Collins has been in Congress for 3 years.
Who claims he has never voted for an omnibus. I mean, this was one of the issues. Talk about everybody.
And that is a flat lie.
He has voted for an omnibus, but he claimed that he never voted for an omnibus and never would vote for one.
He's also claimed he hasn't voted for Boehner, which he has. I mean, there's a recorded vote.
Right.
And so, I mean, at what point can we just go ahead and say Paul Brown is either delusional or a liar or both?
I think that was part of the message that was being sent at that race. I just want to take a minute just to mention these other three candidates, because Mike Scoopin was the Tea Party Patriots founder, and for him, everything was unconstitutional. Social Security was unconstitutional. Obamacare was unconstitutional. All of the omnibus was unconstitutional because they installed a budget back in 1921 that let him spend on things that were unconstitutional. So he's almost like Brown, but... maybe a little bit more. The two other candidates, retired educator Roger Fitzpatrick and National Guard General, retired General Bernie Fontaine, were kind of left gasping for air because you had Scoopin and Brown kind of setting the pace, and then they kind of came in and said, me too, me too.
Well, like I said, I don't hear a lot of how we're going to govern out of any of the challengers there. It's just more of we want to say no better, louder than the next guy. But what I'd love to hear at a Republican debate, any Republican debate, is how are you actually going to get things done? And holding our breath till we turn blue and waiting for the whole country to agree with the Freedom Caucus, which is a minority caucus within what's still, until we have the White House, a minority party, and expecting everyone to adopt, you know, that kind of rhetoric and not do anything until then. You know, we're going to be dead of old age before those people hold their breath until they turn blue, convince people, because they don't want to convince anyone that they basically want to lecture anyone that disagrees with them, that they don't believe in the Constitution, that they don't, you know, going back to the religious freedom debate that we had. None of these people try to win over any new people. It's always trying to get to the most pure, which when you have to get 51% of the vote, that never matters. We're already out of time for this segment, so we'll carry on the other congressional things and get into a little bit of Republican Party politics in the next segment. But first, we're going to take a little break here from 640 AM WGST.